welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online as we are in the beginning of a new year, the year 2019. And you know what? There is just something very human, very natural about reflecting on the past year and looking forward to a new year with hope and expectation. So what kind of year was 2018 for you spiritually? What kind of year was it for you spiritually? That is a good question. Was it a year of growing and stretching? Would you say your spiritual vitality increased? Some people might say mine increased. Others might say mine actually has kind of decreased for a variety of reasons. Or others might say, well, you know, it's kind of about the same. Sometimes in life, we're just drifting along spiritually. You ever been there? It's kind of like you're just on the lazy river. I'm just drifted along spiritually. Other times, maybe we're inconsistent. It's not that we're not always consistent about it. Did you have some starts or some stops spiritually this past year? Was it a year of growing or stretching? It's easy to become distracted or to lose focus. But then there are some times in our spiritual lives when, you know what happens? We get fired up. We become passionate. We just are on fire. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes the greatest spiritual vitality in my life happens in the middle at the same time of my greatest struggles. I used to think, you know, I'm either on top of the mountain with God or I'm in the valley. I'm either on top of the mountain or I'm in the valley. But Rick Warren helped me one time when he said, you know, I find in my life I can be on top of the mountain in one part of my life and in the valley low in another part of my life at the same time. At the same time. And how do we live in that way? Well, I'm still trying to figure it out, but I find that that is descriptive of my spiritual life. I'm on the mountain in some areas of my life and in the valley in others. Charles Dickens' famous opening line in his novel, Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, is often descriptive of what goes on in our spiritual lives. Well, 2018 is gone. Some people might say, good riddance. Other people might say, you know, it was all right. But what about the new year? What are your hopes and your prayers for 2019? I want 2019 to be a year of spiritual growth, vitality, victory. I want that for you as your pastor. I want that for our church as well. Amen? My word for the new year is deeper. I asked God to give me one word for spiritual focus this year, and the word that came to mind to me about 2 weeks ago, early in the morning, was the word deeper. I woke up, I'd been praying, Lord, and the word deeper was there. And I asked, okay, Lord, deeper, but what about deeper? And I sense the Spirit saying, I want you to go deeper in your relationship with me and with others. And so deeper, I said, okay, that's it. I wanted a word, I wanted to focus deeper. And that word has given me plenty to be thinking about and praying about already in 2019. And when I ask God and others to help me to discern a fresh vision for 2019, I read a book and it said every now and then you need to refresh the vision. So I'm praying, Lord, help us with a new vision. And it came to me in the form of three strategic priorities. First of all, God impressed, we need to reach more new people. We've got to renew our commitment, our efforts to reach more new people for Christ. And guess what? Mobilizing you is a big part of it. Last year, we welcomed some 380-some first-time guests to our church. And that's wonderful. That was more than we had done in years past. I wonder, what would it mean for us to have 500 first-time guests? And how can that happen? Well, it'll happen because God does it. I mean, that's a BHAG. That's a big, hairy, audacious thing that we would have that many folks come. But it'll also happen because we decide, you know, how can I help? Whom can I invite? Who do I know? To whom can I share a story about how God has blessed me that'll help somebody else to be curious? Reach more new people. Secondly, we got to develop more fully devoted disciples. More fully devoted disciples. We're clear about our mission. We are, what is our mission? We are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I hope if anybody ever asks you, what are you guys doing there down at Christ Church? You would say, we are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We're clear about the mission, but what we've discovered is we need to clarify the pathway. What are the steps that a person can take that would help them to know and love and serve Christ more fully? We want to get clarity about that. We're going to work at that. And finally, multiply our fruitfulness. We want to evaluate our efforts. We want to multiply our fruitfulness. We want to do what it takes that they will be fruitful, the things that we're doing. Well, those are some of the things that I'm thinking about as I'm leading the church. But what about your personal walk with Christ? What hopes and prayers do you have for your spiritual life as we enter this new year? And you know, how do you get there? Well, Jesus taught some helpful things. Once when he was gathered with his disciples and was teaching them about, you know, don't be consumed or worried or have fear about different things, about the cares of life, he said something simple and yet profound. He said, put God first. Put God first. He said, don't worry about the everyday cares of life. Your heavenly Father, he knows you need those things. This is what he said, Matthew 6:33. He said, but what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He's talking about putting first things first. Jesus says, if you and I will put first things first in our lives, if we'll seek God and his kingdom, his priorities, his will, his righteousness, if we put first things first, everything else that we do that we often worry or fret about, stew about in life, like, you know, food or clothing or work or what are we going to do for money or what about my health or what about our kids or what about those grandkids, all of these concerns and many others, God says, I'll take care of it. What a promise. We focus on God. We put him first in our lives. He sees that the other things, one way or another, get taken care of. So what's on your list these days? Things that you're worried or fretting about. My guess is, I know I've got my list. My guess is you probably have yours as well. Jesus says we can exchange those worries and those that fretting by putting first things first, by seeking God in this new year. So what are some practical ways to do it? How can we go about it in this way that makes sense in our everyday life? Well, here's one way. At the first of the day, seek God. At the first of the day, seek God. We can intentionally seek God at the beginning of each day. Psalm 63:1 says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I what? Seek you. I try to make God the first focus of my mind in the morning when I wake up. First thing I do is I try to listen. I wake up and I try to listen. Lord, is there anything you want to say? Is there a word for me? Is there an answer to something I've been praying about? I try to listen. Then I try to praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for a great day. I'm wanting to seek you in the middle of it. And then I get up and I throw some warm clothes on and I go and I walk the neighborhood with our dog Daisy. And as I do it, I listen to my Through the Bible in a Year devotion and scripture passages, some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament. And by the time I'm done walking through the neighborhood, I'm finished with that. And there's usually about another 5 or 10 minutes at the end to just talk with God. Okay, you've spoken to me through your word. I've tried to listen. And now, you know, let's talk about the things that are happening in my world. Jesus was very intentional about seeking God. We read in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The first of the day, we can seek God in prayer and in studying the Scripture. What's something else we can do? Well, the first day of the week, we can worship. This was certainly a priority in the early church. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Let's read it together. On the what day? First day of the week, we came together to break bread. If you want 2019 to be a great year for you spiritually, make worship a priority. Lord, this year I'm going to seek you in worship. I'm going to be here. I'm going to come expecting you to speak to me. I'm going to come and be fired up about worship. We're going to do our best to help worship to be dynamic and alive and meaningful and impacting. You be here and you come expecting to experience God as you come. What else can we do in 2019 to have a great year of spiritual growth and vitality? To put first things first, well, first day of the week, seek God in prayer and Bible reading. First day of the week, seek God in worship. How about a third thing? At the first of the month, we can seek God with the tithe. With the tithe, setting aside a percentage of our income with the tithe, or the tenth being the goal. In Leviticus 27:30, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, this was a foundational part of their relationship with God. In Leviticus 27:30, we read, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is what? Holy to the Lord. This practice of bringing the first fruits of the land encouraged God's people to listen, to trust to Him. It also was a practical means of funding God's ministry on earth. That's how the temple was cared for. That's how the priests were provided for. That's how the poor were helped through those tithes and those offerings. What did Jesus have to say about tithing in Luke 11:42? He said this, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Yes, we should tithe, Jesus was saying, but don't forget about the most important thing. The most important thing is that we love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourself. Don't forget the poor. Don't forget the widows or the orphans among you. These are the things that are also central to God's heart. I'm grateful for each person in our church who steps out at any level of giving. Now, it is true that in every church, not everyone steps up to tithing. Tithing is a measure of faith, and not everyone is at the same place. Some people are just beginning. Others are further along. A few years ago, when we did a survey, 23% of you at that time indicated that you were giving the tithe. 23%. And I thought, that's amazing. And an additional 13% of you in the survey indicated that you were giving the tithe and beyond. And that's amazing as well. 23% giving the tithe. Another 13% said, at that time, I'm giving the tithe and beyond. That is remarkable. I've been in churches now for a while, and that is a remarkable percentage about people who are doing that. But I also think about this. Imagine what any church could do if everyone stepped up to the tithe. Imagine what God could do throughout the world and all of the churches if everyone stepped up to the tithe. But we're not quite there yet. Some people are thinking about it, I realize. Some people are just starting in their faith journey, but we are all walking by faith. We're all somewhere along the journey, and God is simply calling us to keep growing, to keep moving forward, to keep growing in our faith relationship with Him. Well, how can 2019 be a year of spiritual growth and vitality for you and me? Put first things first. First day of the week, seek God in prayer and reading the Scripture. First part of a day, do that. First day of the week, worship. First day of the month, tithe. Another thing we can do during the first of the year, fast. Fasting. Fasting is a spiritual practice used for centuries by God's people to seek Him and to be about putting first things first. It's always been a means of saying, God, I am serious. I'm going to deny my body its normal diet of food in order to focus my attention and my energies on You and Your will. If you've ever stepped out into fasting, you realize that, man, I mean, this is rubber meets the road stuff. I mean, I'm used to three meals a day, and now I'm not eating one of these meals, perhaps, or maybe even a couple of them, and my stomach is telling me, hey, wait a minute, what is going on? Fasting. In the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah each fasted 40 days and 40 nights as they sought God. In the New Testament, beginning of His ministry, Jesus fasted 40 days and nights in the wilderness, seeking God for spiritual strength that He would need. And as He was teaching again in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:17, Jesus taught His disciples about fasting. Here's what He said. He said, but when you fast, catch that, but when you fast, put oil on your head and watch your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. Jesus expected His followers would practice fasting, but He didn't want them to make a big show of it like the Pharisees did. Instead, He was saying, try to look and to act normal when you fast. So over the past few years, I've encouraged us to consider fasting as a means of seeking God at the beginning of a new year. As we are reflecting and seeking God's direction, I know it's worked for me. Fasting is a great means of God's grace. Now, there are different kinds of fasts. There's what's called a normal fast, and that is just to say, I'm not going to eat food for a season, but I'm going to drink water. No food, going to drink water. That's a normal fast. That's what we think Jesus and Moses and Elijah did. They no food, we have to have water. No food, we have water for a period of time in order to focus in prayer and fellowship with God. So when I fast this way, what I notice is when I miss a meal or when I miss a second meal in a row, hunger pangs begin to show up. Hello? But I let those hunger pangs prompt me to think about God and prayer about God. Okay, Lord, I'm giving up this meal or these couple of meals because I'm seeking You for direction in my life. I'm seeking You for a breakthrough in this thing that I'm needing help with. One of my concerns earlier in the year was I want wisdom about my preaching. So Lord, I'm fasting and praying because I need direction in that way. Fasting and prayer is a way to get a breakthrough, to help God know that we're serious and He has the opportunity to speak. Not that He can't speak in any other time and in any other way, but traditionally, fasting has been one thing we can do to say, Lord, I'm doing this thing special because I want to open myself up to You special. A partial fast. So that's a normal fast. A partial fast is when we abstain from certain foods for a season. Like maybe I'm not going to eat meat or wine or sweets. Instead, I'm going to have maybe fruits or vegetables or just eat whole grains. So where do we get that idea? In Daniel, the book of Daniel 10:3, Daniel 8, he said, no choice meat or wine or food for 3 weeks. Daniel fasted. It was a partial fast, and he was seeking God for direction. He did this for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, the scripture says that God sent a messenger to come and give Daniel the answer that he was looking for. There was a breakthrough finally that came. The Daniel fast is a partial fast that focuses on eating no choice foods, but perhaps fruits and vegetables for maybe 21 days, or maybe it's just a week, or for however long you want to do it. Fasting, whether it's a normal fast or a partial fast, is a tangible way of denying our flesh in order to focus on spiritual communion with God. So right before Christmas, I did a normal fast. No food or water only. I should say no food, but I had water only for about 3 days. And at first, the hunger pangs were strong, and they were saying, man, what are you doing? This is, you know, you normally feed me, and you're not doing it. And I just said, Lord, I'm stepping out because I need breakthrough in these areas of my life. And as I, after the first day is the toughest day. After the first day, the hunger pangs were not as strong. I think my stomach gets the idea, okay, I guess I'm on timeout for a little bit. But there's still this knowing that, okay, I'm not eating like I normally do. And those hunger pangs gave me time to say, okay, Lord, I am seeking you. What I discovered is I felt more in tune with God as I sought him for prayer in this new year. And since then, I have been rediscovering the power of prayer and fasting. John Wesley, I was reminded, encouraged his preachers to fast and pray on Wednesdays and Fridays. And what they would do is they would skip breakfast, they would skip lunch, and then they would break their fast at tea. At tea in England, which is around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And he said, I want you to be in this practice because it'll help you to know about denying yourself and what it means to take up the cross. It also would be giving you an openness and a receptivity to God in a particular way. Wesley encouraged fasting and prayer. I've discovered that when I have a particular prayer focus, something that I need to seek God about, that rhythm of skipping a meal or two, and in that time, seeking him in prayer, that is a rhythm that helps to sharpen my connection with God. Jesus he encourages us to put first things first, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things are going to be added unto us. We can seek God at the first of the day, scripture and prayer, at the first of the week in worship, at the first of the month and giving the tithe, at the first of the year and prayer and fasting. One more thing we often do here at Christ Church at the beginning of the year, we renew our covenant with Christ and his church. And that is what that faith covenant card is about. In the Bible, God made a covenant with his people Israel. He said, I will be your God and you're going to be my people. Their part was simply to honor God and to worship him in return. And the author of Hebrews 8:10 wrote of a new covenant. He said, there's one day going to be a new covenant that's going to be put in place. Jeremiah foretold it. The author of Hebrews wrote about it. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their what? Minds. And I will write them on their where? Hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And we as New Testament believers understand that Christ ushered in that new covenant. Because of what Jesus has done, we have the power of the Holy Spirit that comes from on high. We have the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, and we are members of the church, the body of Jesus Christ on earth. This covenant renewal card reflects the unique DNA that has shaped our church over the years. It simply reads, having receive the good news of God's love for me in Jesus Christ, and understanding his call to make disciples, I make this fourfold commitment. First of all, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You know, that's what we're about. We're simply following in his footsteps. My predecessor, Dr. Bob Pearson, read a book, In His Steps. And in the main theme of that whole idea was the question, what would Jesus do? And he said some 40, 50 years ago, what would Jesus be having us do as we walk in faith with him? That question is as relevant as it ever has been in every aspect of my life. What would Jesus have me do? Secondly, to love God with my heart, mind, soul, and body, and to love my neighbor as myself, which is to live the Christ style. That is simply doing what Jesus told us to do. The most important thing, love God with your heart, mind, soul, strength. The second is like it, your neighbor as yourself. We call that the Christ style. We're Christ-style Christians. Third, to be a good Samaritan Christian, reaching out to people with love and compassion in ministries that meet their needs. One of the things we've tried to do is be a good Samaritan church that continues to reach out to the people who might find themselves shipwrecked on the side of the road, who might find himself in a place of brokenness, who might find that, you know, my life is not all put together and I need somebody that can help. Remember the story Jesus told. People went by, but there was a good Samaritan who said, I'm stopping, I'm going to help. That's what we're trying to do in our ministries. That's what we're calling each other to do individually. To be a good Samaritan Christian. Fourth, to support Christ Church vision for 2019. Again, what's that about? We got to reach more new people for Christ. We got to develop more fully devoted disciples, and we've got to multiply our fruitfulness to support that vision with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness. As we come to communion in just a moment, I want to invite you to take that card. Take this card. I want you to consider signing your name to it and bringing it and placing it in the basket, any of these baskets, as a sign of your commitment to renewing your faith covenant to God and to His church. Make it a tangible expression of your hopes and your prayers in the new year. We're going to take our cards. We're going to put them in this covenant chest again. Remember to remind us from week to week, I made that commitment. I'm still living out that commitment. You might also want to say, I'm going to write a prayer focus for the year on my card. Or maybe there's something that you would say, hey, this is a word that God has impressed in my life. I'm going to put my word down. You've been praying about that. Or you might say, I'm going to praise God in advance for meeting this need in my life in this new year. Here in a moment, I'm going to give us some time to think about that. Maybe write something down, fill out that card, and be prepared to bring it. So as you take that card in your hand, everybody got your card? Wave your card to me. And I hope that if anybody doesn't have a card, if you'll raise your hand, our ushers will know that you need one. They'll get you one. As you take your card in your hand, I want us to pause for just a moment and give us all time to fill out our card. And remember this, put God first. Put Him first, and you can anticipate a great year. Let's fill out our cards. My word is deeper. I'm writing that down. Let us pray. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your ultimate call to put first things first. We know that the way to abundant life that we seek is putting you in the center of our lives and keeping you there. And we have the opportunity to do it every day of this new year because of your Son Jesus. So as we come to the communion table, as we consider our faith covenant with you, as we think again about what it means to put first things first in our lives, we glory in your amazing love and your grace. The good news is we don't have to be perfect. You've provided forgiveness for our sins and our failures. We can simply come as we are to receive your grace and love. And it's that grace and that love that compels us to commit our lives to Christ and the church. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen. as we